5 on the clock, let's call to order the regular meeting of the Gage County Board of Supervisors, May 14th. Please stand for the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Open Meeting Act is posted on the southeast corner of the wall. Attendance by observation, Juergens, Hill, Dorn, Bauman, Lytle, Byers, Setzer. Next on the agenda is we're going to jump right into it. I just spoke with the county attorney. We're going to go into closed session quickly to discuss personnel. And this is related to our emergency management director position. So I need a motion to go into closed session at 8:45.
So moved.
Moved second. By Lytle. Second by Hill. Vote. 7-0. So we just need to clear the room for about 5-10 minutes. Need a motion to come out of closed session at 8:54.
I'll make a motion.
Second.
Moved by Dorn, seconded by Lytle to come out of closed session. Vote. We're out of closed session, 7-0. Need a motion to approve hiring a new emergency management director.
The committee charged with interviewing candidates for the position of Gage County Emergency Manager presents Tim Stutzmans for consideration as EM. And I would approve hiring Mr. Stutzman as Gage County Emergency Manager, wage to be $42,000 a year. Mr. Stutzman would be eligible for county benefits as outlined in the employee handbook. Start date to be June 2nd, 2014.
I have a motion to approve hiring Mr. Stutzman as Emergency Manager Director.
I would move to approve.
Seconded by Kathy. Any further discussion? Seeing none, vote. 7-0. Tim, say a few words. He's a busy man. He's got things to do, and one of the requirements is he has to live in Gage County, so he's going to spend today looking, a portion of it at least, and he's currently the emergency manager at Knuckles County, so he still has obligations there. So wanted him to be first on the agenda today and then offered him to say a few words.
I appreciate you guys this morning for allowing me to be part of Gage County and trusting that I can do the job that you guys are offering. It's going to be quite a challenge. I mean, Gage is quite a bit bigger county and more townships, more requirements that are involved here compared to what Knuckles has. But I'm almost. Made 3 years with them in Knuckles, and it's been a fun job, and I've worked with a few other of the counterparts with emergency management in this region with like their county and then actually we're working with the hazard mitigation plan and it's we're all kind of grouped. It's kind of funny how all those regions kind of cross over and you kind of cross work together. It's kind of a nice deal to know your other counterparts that you may be working with in other areas. Like Matt said, I'm going to be looking for a place here in this area today, and I look forward to starting a new path in life. Any other questions at all, or?
We'll get to know each other over the 30 years.
That's sure. Going to be a lot of names. It's a lot bigger deal, a lot more official here with what you guys got set up here with everything. But it's going to be nice to.
I'll just help you. We'll help.
Yep, and that's what's going to be a lot of the deal. Is going to be a lot of communications. That's what we talked about through our interviews. That's the key in this whole thing is working together and coming to a common goal with how everything should work for the county of Gage.
And I will say that the previous board members I spoke with, and I'll say this because they were very complimentary of Tim's work, and they were sad to see him go.
Yep. There's good people in as commissioners, and we had pretty good working relationship together, open. They weren't afraid to pull me alongside and straighten me out if I need to be straightened out or whatever.
Terry does that around here.
So Terry does that. Terry is the law.
Yeah.
All right.
Very good. Thank you.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
Oh, did they tell you emergency management meetings are at 7 o'clock in the morning? So just, I don't know if the committee informed you of that. Yeah.
No. Whatever it has to be.
Yeah. Okay. And you have to bring the donuts.
Yeah.
No.
You have to bring the donuts.
That's what they do for the rookie.
Pretty much.
Yeah, until you're off probation.
You.
Then you have to bring them no more.
Yeah.
I didn't prepare him for all this.
Then it goes to dinner.
Yeah, then it goes to dinner.
Once he's off probation.
Right, we have a timed event at 9 o'clock, so we will interrupt where we're at on the agenda to go there, but we'll quickly go through the consent agenda. Next on is the, and that consists of the general agenda, approval of minutes of the meeting held April 28th, 2014, approval of the minutes of the meeting held April 30th, 2014, approve all claims through May 14, 2014. There's a lot of 14s today. 14 in the amount of $339,033.80. Approve and place on file all correspondence received. Approve register of deeds fee report for the month of April 2014. Approve utility permit 994 to Windstream to plow and backhoe a communications line located in Section 26, Township 2 North, Range 7 East, Blue Springs, Wymore Township. That is the consent agenda 1 through 7. I need a motion to approve, disapprove, or consider one separately.
Matt, I would like to have claim number 14050192 pulled off to be considered separately. This is for Setzer's Manufacturing in the amount of $148. For some portable welding at the jail.
Okay, we'll consider
I would move the consent agenda be approved with this claim pulled off.
Moved by Byers.
Is that dollar amount, was that right?
I'll second that, but also I want to, there was a $472 claim that came through on
$474
claim that came through on a card member services card that we found out later they billed us direct.
Just this morning we found out.
So that we didn't need to pay the card member services one. So that will be backed out and not paid, the $474. So that's why this dollar amount here, instead of $507, it's $474 less.
Yeah, $339,033.
Yes. So we're going to approve the consent agenda minus the claim that Kathy pulled. More discussion, vote. 7-0 to approve. Now we need to vote on claim number. Kathy, will you... What was that claim number?
It is 14050192.
In the amount of?
$148.
Thank you. Need a motion to approve or disapprove?
Motion to approve.
Moved by Dorn.
Second.
Seconded by Juergens. Vote. Gary's out of the room. So 5 in favor and Kathy abstained because it's to her company. And actually the last vote should have been 6-0, not 7. I misspoke because Gary was out of the room. Okay. 901. I say this every time, but this is the most important thing I think we do every month, and this is our Veterans Honors Program, and I would respectfully ask our Veterans Service Officer, Phil Dittbrenner, to come forward and make our presentation, please.
Good morning. This month, we have the pleasure of introducing Glenn Barnard. Glenn served in the United States Navy from January of 1942 until December of 1945. During that time, he was awarded the World War II Victory Medal, the American Area Campaign Medal, Pacific Asiatic Campaign Medal, the Philippine Liberation Medal, and the Good Conduct Medal. At this time, I'd like to introduce Glenn Barnard. Is a lifelong Gage County resident. The only time he was gone, I think, is when he served in the Navy. Is that true? All right. There you go. I appreciate that. Thank you for your service.
Thank you.
You got something you want to say?
No.
No?
No.
Remember that, Klaus.
I'll try and keep it brief.
I always appreciate a person that they say be blunt, be brief, and be done. If there's anyone that would like to speak on Mr. Barnard's behalf, we would certainly entertain that. It's always a pleasure to see these gentlemen come, and the folks that come appreciate the effort that's made to be here. It's always very nice. Seeing none, okay. Well, thank you very much, Mr. Barnard, and again, we appreciate your service to your country and to your community as well. Okay. Our next timed event is 9:30, so we'll have several timed events that Don felt we had to have today. Bounce around. That's next would be comments from the public and requests for future agenda items. So if at any time somebody comes in and wants to say something, we can back up. If there's anyone that would like to participate now. Let's jump right into committee reports, building and grounds.
Nothing.
Equalization, kind of talked about that. Finance and insurance?
Yes. I got to find my sheet. I had a sheet here. I got to find it. Here it is. Finance, we talked quite a bit about, we'll talk about that later, quite a bit about the communications equipment, and most of that we'll talk about later. But I did also talk, Paul Hay, I met with him Monday about the extension contract, and he updated me on a few things there. The part in the contract that talked about that we would pay them $42,000 and some dollars a year. He's going to visit with the dean and see what they're doing now with the new contracts or whatever and find some wording and stuff. And between us and them, we'll get new wording for that because we don't do that anymore. He agreed to that needed to be redone. He had visited with the dean to let him know that we were going to communicate back and forth on this contract and said that if there were just some minor changes, like just maybe the one paragraph, we could all go ahead and do that. If they were going to completely change the contract or a lot of major changes, then it would end up needing to go before the Board of Regents later on and stuff. And between me and Paul, or Paul and I guess, we looked at this and decided there weren't that much changes or whatever that needed to be done, that we needed to do anything like that. So he'll get back to me when he gets to visit with the dean on how we're going to word or how we'll put in there the financing and how we pay them. So,
what about the extension board? I know there's folks that are on there. We're supposed to approve those folks. I think it would be nice to know who those folks are because I don't know.
We're going to get a list from him.
Okay.
We did visit about that. He said, yeah, they haven't met in probably 6 months to a year. We have approved everybody that's on there. He said the board has, it has gone before the board and they have approved it. That was his comments. So he said no. He says that board, we're not doing what we should be doing with it. And he says we need to get more active in having the meetings and doing what we need to do with it. So we did visit about that. We did visit about the car and the lease. Excuse me. And that goes through a university program. And the current car has 97,000 miles on, and he said probably in the next year sometime again they will they bring them up to the university to get the oil changes. And when they bring it up there, he said the last two times, he said when they get a different car, they just said, you don't need to stay for the oil change. Here's your car, and away you go. And that's how four counties are involved in that program, okay? And he also said that last month, he said, the mileage came out to 38 cents a mile. He said the last year it averaged in the low 40s, 40 to 42, he said. So just so you know, he said what the cost of that lease program is with that car and the mileage and stuff. So we are required to, the county in those contract, in that contract is required to do the transportation and stuff. So, and this is a program what came about 15 years ago with these cars, he said, that it developed in one of the counties, and since then they've added like three more in this. So they do this with four counties. They do this lease program, and it's through the university, through their big program where they lease all their cars. That's how they do it. So he says, you're getting he called it a good deal because of the university, the way they operate and the way they do it and stuff. So he explained that too to me and everything. So, because I know we've had a lot of questions about the car and the lease and all that. So, and then he did mention too, now that he got his other car out there, the old sheriff's department car. So
he took the lights and sirens off. We don't want Paul driving around with that.
But he also did say, he said, he made a comment, and I thought it was good. He said, he said that car has the university's emblem on it, you know, and he says when the people out there, wherever they drive that car, he says, we don't go to certain places. He says, we make sure that, you know, we're representing the university and stuff like that. We try to be proactive and careful in what we do with it, because he said it's not like driving your own car. He said then a lot of people wouldn't know, but he says I guarantee if you stop someplace, somebody's going to call. So
stay out of Johnny's Welding, right? Stay
yeah. So I said, yeah, we have that with the county too. I says you get calls about county vehicles here or there, you know, and stuff. So I mean they're aware of that. We had probably half an hour conversation about it and stuff. So he'll get back to it after he visits with the dean, because that was the one he didn't have an answer for, was the financing and how we do that and how we need to word that, I guess, going forward, you know, because that's a responsibility of the counties, not just our county, of the counties.
And just to reiterate, the last time we looked at that agreement was?
It was signed January 1st of 1998.
Been a while.
The current contract, that's when it's signed. And it's automatic renews every year unless somebody does it, but we just felt that it maybe we ought to get a new one signed.
Yeah. Okay. Anything else?
Finance. Had a couple other things, and it's more with, I know we talked with Gus a little bit about the jail and the housing of the prisoners and what that's costing, but as of May 1st, we were up to, I had the number here. We were, I think, at 112,000 now of boarding of prisoners, outside boarding of prisoners. And one of the things when we developed the budget, that's so hard to estimate or know where you're at or whatever. We have two more months left. Last year, we ended up spending around 85,000. More than anything, we're just bringing this out so everybody's aware of this. So we do realize what the increase, I guess, in the inmate population over there. And one of the other things I looked at, too, then was the meals. We've almost used the whole meal budget. We budgeted, I think, 75,000 maybe. To me, that shows, again, how full our jail here is, even though we are boarding outside inmates or whatever. Because we've used we didn't budget, I guess I call it capacity almost, and that's what we're going to be capacity for our jail here for the year. The other thing, and just starting to look at some of these things, so when we start and go through the budget, the other thing I look, whether I should or shouldn't, I look at some things that are way over what we budgeted for. The other one that really stuck out to me was on legal fees. We've budgeted $200,000 for the last several years. We're at $422,000 right now that we paid already. A fair amount of that, or we did know during the budget process that a fair amount of that, or we would have an increased cost for the Helen Wilson Beatrice 6 case. But this to me is quite a high figure, a lot higher than what we've done in the past several years. And the only other thing I'll say on that is there's a good likelihood that there's going to be another trial again in our next budget year. You know, I mean, there's at least the conversation we've had back and forth is that there's a good likelihood that will be retried. So, and all I'm doing is just pointing out some things that have, when you look through these numbers, things that to me stick out and are higher than what are expected, I guess, or whatever. But the legal fees, that's more than double what we budgeted for. You know, last year, I don't remember what we spent last year. I know the last couple of years we budgeted $200,000, but I don't remember what we spent last year.
I'd say about half that.
Yeah. But we did know when we had our budget and we had a lot of conversation that we knew we were going to have increased costs, but we still decided to leave the budget at the same amount. I guess when I looked at this, I hadn't been watching it as close as I maybe should have, but we spent $422,000 on legal fees through the first 10 months of this fiscal year.
spent $68,000.
A year ago. Yeah.
Last budget year.
What was it, Matt?
$68,000.
A year ago.
Now, at times I know there's court-appointed attorneys that are outside of the contract that we had for public defenders, but we have outside of that. I know in the past sometimes that's gone.
Well, and we've had several cases that have multiple defendants, such as drug cases, something like that. And quite frankly, then you end up with three or four other counsel other than the public, and the public defender can handle those. And depending on how those get resolved, it sometimes drives up that price. But I know we have been using, or we, the judge has to appoint them. I just wanted to point out none of that doubling of the fees goes into my office, correct?
Well, this is outside of your budget.
No, this is outside of you. This is outside of your budget.
I just wanted to make sure the press got that.
Oh, you wanted to make sure the press. I thought you were looking at me.
Yeah, no, this is all Myron's responsibility.
Like I said, we knew when we had the budget, we discussed it, and that's why we probably left it at $200,000 was because of last year what we had paid out. And this number, looking through here the last several days again, when Don, this office prints this out for me, and I look at some of these things, and I'm looking what is, I guess, 100% or higher. That's what I'm looking at, because we have 2 months left. And when I looked at that one, I go, oh, my gosh, I didn't realize we'd spent that amount of money in the first 10 months of the year.
Well, as you pointed out, we had the trial.
We had the trial. That would contribute a fair amount to it. But and what we've had a lot of discussion with Gus and through this whole last year is a trend that we see in Gage County is an increase in our inmate population over there. And I think that contributed some to this increase in legal counsel too. I mean, that, like I said, the meals over there and then the outside boarding, and it's just a trend that we're frustrated. I don't know. I shouldn't say frustrated. We're questioning. We keep questioning why the increase over there, and is it, I don't know, maybe Gus can answer it better law enforcement or more people having issues, I guess. I don't know.
Well, it is law enforcement. It's a domino effect. And then if Roger's office is really aggressive on what they're doing and then the judge is sentencing them accordingly, it's a domino effect. I mean, so it's a trend across, just not here. It's just
not here.
It's everywhere. Yeah.
Kathy and I, we visited briefly in committee meetings. Who's responsible for the increase? Society.
The public, yeah.
Oh, exactly right. Yeah, there's an increased cost of people not playing by the rules outside of everybody's control, except theirs.
And, I mean, going forward, I don't know next year how our budget will look like or what our discussion will be, but, you know, I mean, we can plan a little bit on another trial, but then the rest of this, I mean, to me, this number just... Like I said, I hadn't been watching that one that close, and when I looked at that one for the last few days,
we've gotten a lot of bills in.
We've gotten a lot of bills, yeah. But it's a cost that the county bears, and that when you do a budget, you can plan the best you can plan, but some of these things are, they have you wonder a lot and they have you asking a lot of questions, and there's no easy answers for them. I was surprised.
In defense of the budget process, that you can't, the societal costs, you know, you can't plan for that. But no. The trial, you just don't know on the trial how much. And there was a lot of time that's put into that. And I think our lawyers did an excellent job in the job that they did. But it shows in what we paid in expenses also.
Well, and I know they talked to us originally, you know, there was 10 days scheduled for that trial, and then I don't remember when they changed that before the trial. They scheduled 15 days for it, and that trial went pretty much the 15 days, if I remember right, you know, and everything. So it, and.
Yeah. Yeah. Will we eliminate all that expense for the new communication system?
No.
That's an interesting segue.
I'm done.
Any more good news?
Yeah, I'm done. No, I'm done.
We're now past the good news portion of the meeting. We'll go to, let's see, 15 minutes here. Human Resource Employee Relations?
No report, except that we did get a new emergency manager hired today, so...
Law enforcement, emergency management.
And I wanted to go back to the to the hiring of the emergency manager. I did forget to mention earlier that the committee members that were involved with the hiring of the emergency manager, or the interviewing process, were myself, Kathy Setzer, John Hill, Matt Bauman, and then Jim Decker from the Wymore Fire 3 and 33 Mutual Aid Group, and Brian Dakey, the Beatrice Fire Chief. So I did want to mention that that was the group that did work on the interviews and brought forward the man that we recommended. So then as far as law enforcement and emergency management, obviously the thing that has been dominating law enforcement and emergency management for the last 6 months continues to, and we'll discuss that again here in a little bit, and that's communications. There were a few other things that were discussed, and I'm going to go ahead and let Myron bring those up or pass it off to the sheriff to further that.
Okay, Gus came with some estimates. The fire marshal came down, just did a preliminary thing again, and a couple of his recommendations, and then also they're attempting to go to satellite video or video of arraignments, attempting to get that all those things prepared over there so that we can do that from the jail. And he came with four different projects that would involve all those and some estimates, and we're going to put those out for bids, correct?
Yeah, well, we'll get right to what the dollar amounts are. It might be just three quotes back into you. We're trying.
Yeah, there'll be right. Different quotes come, but right. But all those projects together come over the $10,000, which right. We need to put out for bids. So those are going to go out for bids to get those projects done. And I believe there was two of them, a couple of them for this the videoing feed and stuff, the room, to get the room ready and the video feeding and everything, and a couple of the others were situations, smaller things. One was a door and a little bit on some stairs and stuff to bring us up to date with what the fire marshal had and stuff. So, and then the other thing we talked about was the north parking lot over here, about getting that ready. Dave was here and visited with us too about getting that ready to maybe being able to park some vehicles over there, getting a light and a camera and stuff over there. So where the house was.
I'm pointing at Phil. Did anyone get a hold of you? We kind of brought your name up in committee about how that would affect.
Yeah, I talked to Mark. Yeah.
Okay.
Good.
Right. Is that, will that work? Okay.
So some more work. Dave said the
guardrail
is here and ordered, and it's ordered and has been delivered, and they're going to put up some guardrail on that and help with that so that the traffic can't just go out anywhere they want to and stuff. So that's a work in process, and they need some more rock and stuff like that, but we're getting that ready so that more vehicles, they're running out a little bit of room over there to park, so they want to use some more of that, and we're parking some emergency management trailers in there and stuff too. So
we could move the clerk's car because that takes up a spot.
That was our first choice, but yeah. You're seeing her upset. It's not very pretty. So.
Oh, you guys, it was election yesterday. Give me a break.
We are.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, 9 minutes. Hopefully, I might interrupt you.
Won't take long. Short. Okay, road and bridge. Deb said tentative starting date on the armor coating is May 20th. Philly project, scheduled for the start of May 19th. We've talked about that, a road being closed May 19th. Basically, there's going to be mobilization starting on May 19th. The detour signs are all up. So it could be a week later before the road is actually closed. You'll see activity there, but the road remain open probably another week after the 19th that we'd stated earlier. So that's going on. Culverts, we the culvert on the PWF road west was completed, put in. I mean, if anybody goes that way, I'll have to commend the county. It was it's a big undertaking to do one of those. You've got water, you've got all kinds of elements to contend with, and if you drive it, it looks excellent. It was a nice job. They moved on from there, and I think they're south and east of Wymore now, putting a culvert in there. But the like I say, I want to commend the crew that worked on that. Excellent job they did on it. Complaints, you know, and we had one yesterday with the one there, was at the office this morning. People have to understand these projects or culverts that are being replaced is a big project, each one individually. The road, you know, possibly could be closed up to a week. There's well-marked detours to go around it, but that's progress. You have to put up with a little bit of, you know, inconvenience, I guess, so I hope the people understand that we've had, you know, numerous complaints over these projects, but it's progress. And the reason people have said, why can't you wait till after school? Why can't you wait till after the election? Why can't you wait till after this? Well, everybody's going to have some kind of a function going on. They wish you'd have waited another day to do it. It's important these culverts get replaced on these hard-faced roads as soon as possible so that material can get worked in around that before the final overlay is done on these roads. So that's mainly the reason. We're tentatively trying to inconvenience anybody. You know, we're trying to work through this the best we can. Philly North Culvert, that could be closed for a day again also. They're going to dig out the material that was put in place and then put permanent asphalt in there. So I don't know exactly when that'll happen, but here shortly, I think.
Even said something about yesterday.
Oh, it's done. Well, good. We won't have any complaints on that then. removed a tree. The city and the county got together. There's a tree on a parking lot that the county uses. It's a city lot. The county uses it for parking. There was a tree there that we got together with the city, and on the rainy day, first rainy day we had, which was Monday, I think it was removed and cleaned up, so that looks a lot better now. Gravel work's being done right now. Other than that, basically about it. Anything else, guys?
You know, I don't know. It was the shortest yeah. road bridge meeting we've had in a long time.
We have a bid coming up shortly on that deck slab bridge. So,
you give them the new complaint hotline. It's Terry Jurgens' cell phone number, and that is for the record.
Don't give that out.
Good points. Anything else? Community reports. Okay, again, we do have a timed event in 5 minutes, so we'll move through the agenda, but we'll interrupt folks. Gus, you got time to introduce your gentleman here in 5 minutes, or do you need more time?
Nope.
Okay.
Real quick, I apologize. I haven't got some of these people in sooner, but they've been at camp and working different shifts. So my left is Matthew Ernst. He's a certified officer. Correct me if I'm wrong. He was at the Lincoln Police Department for a while. Then before I hired him, he was at Ceresco, I think, working part-time. Police Department. And the airport up there in Lincoln. So he's a certified officer, and he's living here in Beatrice and doing a bang-up job for us. On my right is Austin Brake. Austin just graduated, in February, I think it was, from our academy. And he's learning the trade every day. Austin came to us from the metro area in Omaha. I believe he's a paramedic, and then he worked in some fire departments part-time or something like that, I think it was. So he's very experienced in some of those areas as well and doing a good job for us. And then we have another young man over there, Richard Smith. Dick, you probably know Dick from years ago. He was with us many years ago when we were all skinnier and dark-haired.
That would be Monfelt.
Yeah, Monfelt, excuse me. I'm thinking a different Dick. Anyway, 10 years been gone? 12?
Yeah.
10. And he came back. He's most recently down at the Wymore Police Department, and he's back now working the road. Just started last week, I think, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. So he's back and doing a job for us. So, again, any questions for the gentleman? But that's the new crew for now. We hope to stay a while.
Okay. Are all of you on then road duty?
All road duty.
On new road duty.
Both Austin and Matt live in town, and Dick lives in Wymore. Yeah. That's where they'll be staying there. So, yeah.
Welcome. So you get the night shift?
You all take That's how it works usually sometimes.
Yeah.
Okay.
Now,
thank you.
Yes.
Now, I want to clarify your deer policy.
Deer?
Yes. When deer are found on the road, you bag them and bring them into town, is that correct?
Yeah. Want to address that?
Is all you got to call the game warden, and once it's done,
it's an April Fool's joke to you guys.
Did they give you a hard time about that?
Yeah, Debbie Schley is the was a hard training officer.
I hope it was a pickup you had and not a car.
I had a Dodge Charger. Let's just say the deer was left on the side of the road, so I called his bluff, but he had me going for a little bit.
Got a little humor in the workplace, you know.
Yes, so.
All right. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thanks, guys.
That'll leave a mark.
Yeah. You can work her in somewhere. I don't think it'll take that long to have Jane Ford Wood off, too.
Okay.
But we have a 9:30.
It's 1 minute.
We just have a minute, so we'll just kind of wait. We have a timed event at 9:30, and Gary thinks you can get her done in a minute, but I don't think so. I think we'll give you more time.
I tried to work in, Jane.
Just appreciate your attendance. We want to make it last.
Way 2 miles of gravel over there.
Oh, the bank over here?
Oh, yeah? That's how I knew about the deer.
Oh, okay. Well, usually I know when the guys start dating. I didn't know about it. That was him, but... He didn't tell me that.
I think they are, didn't
he? Oh, I think they are, yeah.
Yeah. My daughter saw that on Facebook.
It's only one that's been delivered yet.
9:30. 9:30, I need a motion to close all bids for a Liberty Northwest project.
So moved.
Moved by Lytle.
Second.
Second by Byers. Vote. 7-0 to close all bids.
I would like to be one and only bid.
I said plural because I was optimistic. Open the bid.
Open the bid.
There you are.
This bid is from Husker Steel Incorporated. Columbus, Nebraska. The bond is there. It's broke down into segments, as you can see on this sheet, but I'll give you the total amount. Total for material, $75,017.50. This particular one is for Island Grove Township. It's a deck slab bridge, and it will replace an old truss bridge that is in Island Grove Township. So it's been on the books for a long time, so that's the amount. It's quite a process. This is all the materials. The county crew will put it in.
So that is not all materials on that, if you load the slabs are not on that.
They're not?
No. And you said that they could be separate.
Sir, you're welcome to speak. We just for the record, just...
Okay. I
that's all right. Name and address for the record.
I just read at the bottom it was total materials.
No, and that's a very easy mistake to make.
Okay.
We could have maybe made it a little more clear on the bid, but
okay.
Our slab plant right now is totally full of work. We've got more slabs than we can due this summer. I think they had like a 6-week after award completion, and so we are not able to make that 6-week completion date. So we bid just.
You identify yourself.
Chris with Husker Steel.
Thank you.
Chris Adelman with Husker Steel. And so that's the reason why we just bid the steel materials, is because once you went past the 6 weeks and it's a $100 day penalty in addition to that, so we weren't able to make that that time frame.
I see.
So,
well, that doesn't help us out on the rest of the bridge. The problem, that's the
right, and I think a lot of other people are kind of dealing with the same thing now.
Really?
If you wanted to, what we could do is just send you a proposal with our estimated time of completion on it, and if you can live with that, then. But we just couldn't do it based on the specs that were given to us. So. And we had hoped that maybe some other supplier was going to furnish the slabs. Obviously, that must not be the case. And this is not the first time this has happened. We've seen it in a couple other counties as well, too. So
help me understand the issue again.
These are for all the materials. I mean, these. I mean, I'd like
Galen.
Galen, could you come up and explain how that those segments are? And I know little about it, but not nearly enough.
Okay, this bridge deck system is a precast bridge deck system, and what there is, they're individual slabs. There's two jump spans, and each jump span is 21 foot in length, and the center span, the main span, is 31 foot in length. Each slab is, I believe, they're 34 inches wide, and they you set them on the up on the completed steel, and they set up there. Then they all get welded together to make one nice big deck. So the slabs are actually cast at a plant individually, and they're trucked down on the semi-load, and then we pick them up with a crane, and we actually send them up on the driven steel and attach them to the steel, and that's what makes the deck on that.
So what he bid was all the material except for those slabs,
except
those three slabs.
The substructure of the bridge, the superstructure is what you drive on. We didn't furnish any of that. I think on our bids also got all the guard railing and everything else. The slabs are bid separately. Now, we do manufacture the slabs, but like I say, we got a real big job with Buffalo County. It was like 108 slabs, and that's going to keep us busy for about the next 3 months. And we like doing them. We'd love to do them for you guys, but we just couldn't meet that time frame. It's what we were dealing with.
First, the time frame then that those could be completed would be approximately when?
Well, for us at this point, it'd be closer to October.
I see.
And so if a person could live with that, we could definitely send you a proposal in regards to the slabs, but not under the circumstances that the bid was set up.
Because in this bid specification, it was required that they do this in or delivery in 6 weeks.
That's 6 weeks after award.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And that's what he's talking about.
What's that do to the workflow timeline? Where would that be from a project? Can we move on to a different project and bump that back? What's that do? How's that?
Well, normally on a bridge with this length, normally we go out and we actually build the drive the steel piling and everything, and actually on the substructure we make the center span, and then we actually set the deck slabs on top of that center span. Then we move on and build the one of the jump spans, and then move around and build the other jump span, so we can get our crane in close enough to the creek. If we don't do it that way, then our crane isn't big enough for capacity that we can't set clear up on the bank and put the center span. We got to be right up against the center span to set these deck slabs on. So
this project's pretty well off the board if you're not getting it before October anyway. But at this point, Roger, it's going to have to be a new bid at this point, is it not?
I mean, you know, they can help you toward the end of the year if that fits within your game plan. Then I would suggest, because there's probably some other individuals, and I don't know this for a fact, that may be able, if we didn't have that 6-week requirement on it, that could also bid on this thing. So, and I think you've been very candid about 6 weeks.
What county did, is it Roger?
Yes.
What one county did was they went ahead and awarded the steel because that was a good bid. They were happy with the bid. But then they went back to the suppliers and said, can you quote it based on your next best possible delivery date and give us an and that opens it up for more people to be able to bid it, which I think makes sense.
Yeah, it's basically up to you, but again, I mean, for the competitive bidding thing, that would be my suggestion. And again, you know, the unfairness is some of them already know what this gentleman is, his company is going to bid on the underlying steel.
Right. Galen, do we need to, I guess, refer this bid to the committee and then have a visit with Mark Minnelli also?
Yes, that's
on
what
this
I'd recommend.
And kind of decide what direction to go then. Yeah. But that'll be a couple of weeks before we decide then, so just so you know. But I mean,
the county that did a bid real similar to this was Cumming County. It was very similar to this bridge, three-span bridge. And they basically did the same thing. They just went ahead and they went to committee. They awarded the steel. And then they just went ahead and they said, okay, well, now let's go with the slabs, bid it separately, and give them more flexibility, I guess, on the completion date. And then that way they're able to get more.
Because I think, too, Mark probably would give us some very valuable input on this going forward and deciding what to do with it and stuff. So if we refer it to committee.
Come back in 2 weeks.
Yeah.
And this bid is valid for how long?
Well, steel prices fluctuate quite a little bit. I mean, if you're talking 2 weeks, I don't have a problem with that at all.
Yeah. Okay.
You do get some fluctuation in steel prices.
They could fluctuate and go down, correct?
Well, not, you know.
Pretty different. I've never talked to one of them.
In 2 weeks.
Mark
recommended we just take it under advisement.
I'd like to make a motion that we refer it to the committee.
I think I agree on that. Let's refer it to the highway department, and then we'll bring it up in front of the committee in 2 weeks, and we'll have discussion with Mark Minnelli and see what his recommendation would be on this one.
Okay. Moved by Lytle.
Second.
Seconded by Dorn. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you for being here.
I thought it might be an issue, so I thought it
Well, because we would have took Terry at his word here, and my guy.
Well, I see right here it says no bid. I should have saw that. But,
We have got a motion and a second. Any further discussion?
Vote.
7-0, we'll send that to committee, and we'll reconsider in 2 weeks. We'll have more discussion. 5 minutes? I want to give you more time. You got 5 minutes? I got to interrupt you. I got another timed thing at 9:45.
Myron.
Or you can stand and you can come back, too.
Myron, that wasn't our budget.
Okay.
We budgeted $100,000.
Everything else is going to take a lot of time.
I don't know that we could still take delivery of this deal. $75,000 in this budget. And
let's just take a break quickly, and in 5 minutes we'll come back and we'll go through the agenda. We'll get her in after the public hearing. Just stand.
It's always amazing we have fluctuation.
9:45, I need a motion to open up a public hearing for the purpose of hearing support, opposition, criticism, suggestions, or observations to close and vacate a portion of a public road in Gage County located as a portion of Olive Lane located in part of the southeast quarter and on a part of the northeast quarter of Section 17, Township 2 North, Range 6 East, in the 6th Principal Meridian. I haven't said that one before. In Gage County, I need a motion to open up a public hearing.
So moved.
Moved by Lytle.
Second.
Seconded by Setzer. Vote. 7-0. We are in a public hearing.
Terry, you want talk about this now?
Come both.
Yeah.
Deborah, to talk about this?
Yes.
Don,
well, just go ahead, just so we have the record.
You're wrong. No.
I think we have anybody.
You're doing good.
Good morning. Deborah Marshall Brown, Gage County Highway Department. We did have a visitor yesterday at our office. One of the the people who actually signed the petition. He's in favor of the petition. The petition actually says the entire mile of Olive Road. Originally, the letter that John Schoenweiss presented to us was dated August of 2012, and it was a request for half mile of that road on the east half. And the township letter was also the east half of that mile. Everyone that signed the petition actually says the whole mile. And we had the study done based on the east half. We had the legal description based on the east half by our county surveyor. After speaking with this landowner, he's not opposed to, as a matter of fact, he would love to close the whole road, which is what he thought was going to happen. I spoke with John Schoenweiss. I said, we probably need to come to a clarification on this, because obviously we're having a hearing about the east half of this road. If the landowners are in favor, according to the petition, to close the whole road, then we probably need to have another, the west half, done a study by Galen, get legal description, combine them all into one legal description, or however Roger feels we should approach this. I would like to turn it over to him to see how we could go about this. We do have petitions for everybody.
Part of the problem was there was a little bit of misunderstanding, though I understand it. John thought the west part, landowner on the west side, was going to follow through on his side of the of the legal part, and the whole road would be closed. Well, it didn't go that way, and a lot of people are under the understanding the whole road would be closed. So what we have today in front of us is just for the east half, you know. So how we go about it, I don't know, but I mean, there's a lot of, I mean, everybody was under the assumption the whole road was going to be closed because of...
So the folks signed the petition on the pretext of the whole road.
Is that correct, Deb?
That is correct.
Yeah. Because the process has only been for the east half.
Because we didn't have updated information from John nor from the township about the whole road. But approximately, when he brought that in August of 2012... In April of 2013, he and Mr. Doug Pieper decided they wanted to pursue the whole road being closed. So that's why they put this petition together for the entire mile. And we assumed that it was not for the entire mile. It was just for the still the east half. And upon reviewing the petition, it does say the whole mile. And so those landowners have signed for that entire mile.
The petition is the initial requirement of the process, so the process is in conflict with itself because it says whole and we've only done half, so we probably can't do anything because
today we're going to discuss it today,
but it's good to know because now we didn't know that.
Well, part of the problem was from the gentleman that we talked to yesterday that Deb's talking about. He has a farm that would have access there, but there's a culvert that he uses. Now, if this is road is closed, that culvert goes out. It's his responsibility now. But either way, it'll be his responsibility. If the half the road's closed, the whole road's closed. But there's a little bit of miscommunication.
So they're in favor of the entire road.
Yes,
the landowners are in favor of the entire road. The township, we're sure, will be in favor. We just need to get them to update something, and I'm sure Mr. Pieper and John Schoenweiss would be willing to update their information as well. And we have the petition already for the entire mile, but I did want to see what we felt, Roger felt on this.
You're going to have to, if you do anything other than the east half, you're going to have to go back, start over. If, and I agree with the chairperson, the petition, they signed it under the assumption it was a full road. Now, I would assume, but again, we know what assume says. So I think you back it up unless there's some horrible time limit or delay or concern here.
No.
Back up, do it right so we don't screw up the property of these two gentlemen as far as chain of title. I'd say do it. And you got everybody on, just tell them, look, technical correction, please come back in and sign it or circulate it by mail. Whatever. I mean, you can help out Mr. Schoenweiss
absolutely,
the other landowner and get her done a lot quicker. Absolutely. Galen's already got half of it done, so he probably has a pretty good idea on the other half.
And I looked at the road, and there's not even a semblance of a road being. I mean, there is by looking at an old bridge in there, but there's no road there anymore. It's gone, basically not, hasn't been used for years and years and years. So, I mean, if ever a road needs to be closed, this is one of them, I'd say. So,
so basically, clean the title up and, okay.
We have no action set for today anyway. It was just a public hearing.
Yeah, just a hearing. So we'll just go our process again and let Galen do the west half, and we'll get that going and do another hearing.
Thank you, Deborah.
Thank you very much.
Any more comments, questions? Take a motion to close the public hearing?
So moved.
Second.
Moved by Lytle, seconded by
Byers. Vote.
7-0. Jane Ford, you've waited so patiently. Waited for Denny. Keep holding you up.
Just the way I am.
Yeah. This Jane Ford Widoff, Public Health Solutions, serving five counties, including yours. And I wanted to apologize for being so spotty this past year, not coming and seeing you. But some of you know that my husband was ill, and he's since passed. Anyway, I'm glad to see you all again because you're always fun. I like to see the way the other half lives, you know, politicians. Anyway, I have some pretty good things to tell you. You know, earlier we had put a lot into the schools here for safe routes to schools, you know, to increase walking and biking to schools. And we've done, other kinds of activities, trying to change the roadways and whatever to make things safer. And this year, we have a number of things that we can proudly say that we are now located here in Beatrice. How about that? It's going to be at the, it's actually, they're constructing it. It's Southeast Community College Family Resource Center. And we'll have a direct access there. But for those of you that know, and Dennis is going to be our host when we have our open house, but it's actually one of the first bids we've ever had to apply for, you know, which is kind of complicated with the state. But it's all money that is available through the state and eventually will be available through ACA, too. The Affordable Care Act, and that is to increase the health and well-being of kids. Everybody's looking at, the crime and kind of the decrease of the cohesiveness in our society, and this is one of the evidence-based activities that they think it will make a big difference. Because a lot of families, you know, are, falling apart or disintegrating or already have disintegrated, and for any number of reasons. And this program will focus on kids 0 to 3 to increase effective parenting and to get them on the right road. We're doing this in cooperation with the Nebraska Children's Home, I think. I always get that mixed up. So it'll be a partnership project, and there'll be five staff people here, and then I've committed to being here too once or twice a week, at least to start. That project will serve Jefferson County and your county. So I'm real, real pleased with that. That's about, I don't know, like $150,000 a year. I don't know the exact amount of money. We did the Skip Flu program again this year, and we had a boost from those insurance people that do managed care for for those on Medicaid, and they gave us each $1,000, and so we did a heavier promotion, and so we did increase the number of people that that got immunized. But I'm still a little concerned about Beatrice, so we're going to see what else we can do to increase our numbers, because you also had among the higher flu rates too. I mean, not that it was astronomical this past year because it wasn't an epidemic, but nonetheless, it's a little higher than it probably should be. I submitted. I should even be embarrassed to tell you. I've submitted another RAED grant. You know, those are for those AED devices. And there's some, this is $150,000 a year for 3 years, and there are only going to be three given in the country, so I'm kind of a glutton for punishment, I guess. But the last time we submitted this, we got a really high score, and it was, there was no appropriation from Congress, so we were snipped off. And then last year, I mislabeled some of my attachments by inserting a comma, so they disqualified us here. But anyway, I'm hopeful that we'll be able to get it. But the difference in this year and previous years is we're going to increase the number of AEDs from, just being located in a town to having them such that the majority of people or the people that would gather in that town would be able to get to that AED within a minute. Because if you, and this is particularly true for schools, you know, if you have the AED in one building, it might take you far more than a minute to get to it. And that makes all the difference. So it's, new information about AEDs and their effectiveness. The other thing we're going to do is we're working in partnership with Red Cross and also the volunteer fire people to increase the number of people that have knowledge about AEDs and CPR, and I'm not talking about getting everyone certified because that's just monumental, and a lot of people don't want to do it. It takes too much time. So we're going to do a lot of these, I don't want to say quick and dirty, but quick and effective training modules, and it'll be a source of revenue for the fire people, too. So I'm hoping we get that. And then also we're going to be putting more of an investment in the dispatchers who already do a fine job, but to make sure that they have all the information about location of AEDs and are as proficient as they can be in giving dispatch-assisted CPR. Last thing I want to mention is it was like manna from heaven. I called Rick Nation on Friday, said, "You have to look. Our boat is in the dock, ready to launch. And he and I have been talking about getting some funds so we can start working with the dentists again and then get preventative dental services instituted on a more consistent basis through the schools. And we're already in the Head Starts, early Head Starts, in partnership with Rick. And we're really looking forward to this. We might have other districts coming with us, but we have a public health dental hygienist, and then we got $15,000 gift on the condition that we use it for mobile dental equipment. And I think this could be the trick for us. It's $150,000 for each of 2 years, and then potentially can be increased. But to me, this is one of the most wonderful things that could happen to us. As an example, in your county, there's a kiddo, 2 years old or 3 years old, I don't know, but has to go to Children's Hospital in Omaha to get the teeth worked on because they are so bad. So this isn't just a person here and there. This is it is an ongoing problem for people. People think, oh, medication is a problem. Well, that's long after they don't go to dental care anymore. So I'm real happy with that. So we're here to serve you and take every opportunity. You know, our priorities are strengthening families, also increasing preventative services, and increasing access to care, particularly dental and behavioral health. We are also working with the hospital and the state to put in what they call a health hub, but it's not really anything physical. It's more developing our capacity to screen and get people into services. So that's another thing. So wanted to thank you for being here. I enjoy your meetings. I always have. And if you have anything that's been on your mind, you think that we need to do something better, or something that you think is undone, please let us know. Oh, we did do a lot of screening for schools last year, just as it happened. But we've got our plans for the future here and are going to be working pretty hard. And then you'll see me around.
Anything as far as public health across the country relative to the infectious disease moving into Florida and
okay.
mess or whatever.
Glad you
it is.
Brought that up. I'm always, cautious about bringing these things up because sometimes it goes. You know, I just want to make sure I know what the lay of the land is. And what he's talking about are the two cases that were people that were sick that came into our country, Indiana and Florida. And the facilities involved handled it very well. The biggest danger is to people that are caring for people that are sick, and we expect there are going to be more coming in. You'll hear information about death rates and stuff, which is, you know, it's pretty high. But again, those are mostly people that have been caring for those with MERS. And so there's been a lot of activity right now trying to figure out the best way to eliminate the potential for any development of disease here. Both individuals are on their way to health. There's not a whole lot you can do with it. I think it just gives everybody a little shiver because you know how close we are, how related we are in terms of transportation and whatever. And so all of the surveillance or watching for any cases, any similar cases, is really on the uptick. Everybody has orders to be very wary of things, particularly with people that have immigrated in the past 14 days, I believe is what they say. And I'm going to be reading more about it, but there's really fairly limited information right now. I just hope we don't, for the general public, it's not they consider it not now a risk. But, of course, that's always a possibility. I don't know what...
Well,
question about AEDs.
Yeah.
Who when those are put out, and they're in a lot of different places, who's responsible for checking the battery and the outdate on the pads?
Well, I'm glad you asked that because we have 144 AEDs. Most of them are almost 10 years old. And when we put our AEDs out this last time, we found a sponsoring group, and then they took on that responsibility. But we wanted to follow up with someone that would double-check, and we haven't quite done that yet. But one of the intents of this is to make sure we know where everyone is, what their condition is, and that we have ways of replacing that and ways of double-checking to make sure that they're being taken care of. I think those are the real strong points of this application. And also the general awareness of them also makes a big difference. It's surprising that people have an AED in their building and they won't know where it is. And to me, nothing would be worse than finding it, bringing it back, maybe too late, but then finding it doesn't work. So the important thing, of course, is the CPR, but the AEDs, we're planning to have them fully accounted for, a working list, and that they will be checked by somebody annually, but there will be people responsible for each one. That will be condition of their of getting it and the training. So hopefully it will do well. In some communities, they have 50% of people have been exposed to AED and CPR and made a big difference in survivability. Most places, it's only about 10%. Can you imagine? And all kinds of psychology about how people choose to, whether people choose to help or not help. And, of course, we have that added problem of sometimes people not being right there. But I think there are things that we can do, particularly if you have somebody that has a heart disease, that you can make accommodations, make sure the family knows how to do CPR and AED. And I think we can decrease it. And, of course, we have a lot that we're fighting against with emergency medical services. You know, it just seems like something's got to give, but it hasn't given yet. I mean, you're fortunate, and it's wonderful what you provide. you know, you have good volunteers and also Beatrice Fire, but many counties aren't as well off, not that you're flush, but, you know, it's a bad deal.
Thank you.
Okay. Okay, thank you very much for your time. I know it wasn't a big action thing, but...
All right. Thanks for waiting for me. We carve you in there.
Okay.
Okay. Need a motion to approve or disapprove a service agreement with attachment between the State of Nebraska Office of the Chief Information Officer and Gage County, Nebraska, related to the use of the statewide radio system.
Move to approve.
Moved by Lytle.
Second.
Seconded by Dorn.
Discussion.
Chief Deputy Klaus.
Doug Klaus, Chief Deputy. I guess, where would you like me to start in regards to, we've had some, we'll start there. We had some changes that occurred, good or bad. You see before you a tower report. Show the front page here. From Crispin Engineering on there. Yesterday, after lunch, I checked my emails, and I had an email from Mike Jeffries from the state. And included in that email was this tower report. I guess the biggest thing about this whole tower report is if you turn to page 4 and you go under the comments section there, you'll get the gist of what this really entails, which is that the tower did not pass inspection based on the standards. I'll just paraphrase a little bit of that, it's reached its serviceable life. They do not recommend adding equipment or keeping the existing equipment that's on it based on those factors. So with that being said, the state is not comfortable putting any equipment on this tower, and it does present a new problem then for the county, I guess, for the existing equipment that's on there. I was a little bit misunderstood initially, I guess, in some conversations that we have had about the equipment on which tower versus what it is and who it serves. The existing equipment that's on that tower is South Fire and the paging. The PD main frequency that we operate on is located on the tower at the county shops in Wymore. So it doesn't affect our main frequency stuff for the time being there for law enforcement, but it is an effect on all fire and rescue and stuff for the southern part of the county. So with that being said, I guess we kind of discussed some options with Mike Jeffries. I talked to Doug Ostergaard yesterday, and Mike had talked to Mark Mines, because he has all the information in his head about all the tower locations throughout the county, as to maybe what some possible options would be. So after discussion at great length about, you know, different options and things and discussions for equipment and the contributions that the county would make, we decided to move forward in the option of the service agreement with removing all the language for the Blue Springs Tower. We took that over to the county attorney's office late yesterday afternoon, and I apologize for that, but that's the way the cards fell. Rick and Roger had looked it over, and I guess I have not had a conversation since then with either one of them as to what the standpoint was on the aspect as far as how the service agreement looks in it from a legal standpoint. The recommendation is, and it's included in your copy, the draft copy that you have in front of you of the service agreement, that we abandon the Blue Springs Tower site completely. We move into a user fee. Keep in mind that in the past that our discussions have been that if we contributed as a county the $297,000 into this project for combiner equipment in the Blue Springs Tower site, that our user rate would be essentially, well, it would be zero for the 15-year period for up to 75 users. With that being said, if you look on the last page of the service agreement, it's the money part of this for the agreement. It will show you the user rate per user. The number of users listed in the attachment is 25. The one before that was 40, and you're going to ask why the difference. Well, part of the difference is that it's my understanding and the recommendation that the county board will make the motion, you know, if we proceed forward on this for the second half of this in the subscriber equipment, to make that amount a recommendation not to exceed $400,000. So with that being said, there would be 10 portable radios cut out of the $454,000 amount. And so that would take away the radios that we had slotted for corrections and some of the future growth radios that we had for each of the patrol shifts and our part-time and one reserve radio. So that makes up that 10. So you take that, and I told Mike, I said, you know, I think that 40 might be a little high, but I said, you know, I'd feel more comfortable with a lower number. Maybe 25 initially to start off with, and then we see where we're at over a period of time. And when we start programming radios and do fleet mapping and talk groups, and I think we'll have a little better understanding that number could fluctuate in there. And in that attachment A, it talks about 180 days notice and stuff by the county that we can adjust those numbers, and you know the rate agreement can change between both entities in there. So I feel comfortable with where those numbers are at for right now. If you look on there, it talks about the 25 users annually. That would be a cost to the county based on 25 users of $6,588 for user fees. If that number did change and it fluctuated up to 40 or whatever, that would be $10,540.80 a year. If we took it for the full 15-year contract, for 25 users, it's about $98,820, or for 40 users, it would be $158,112. If we max that out for 75 users, oh, for 1 year, it would cost the county annually $19,764. So for a 15-year period, that would be the $296,460, and that's how we kind of derived at that number in consideration for the combiner equipment, which was right around that $296,297,000 number. So if we don't purchase the combiner equipment and do that, we would still have that option. We're in the process right now of looking at other tower locations throughout the county. Of course, mind you, this just started yesterday, but there's already been, you know, three suggestions kind of put out there already, and I know one of them, according to what Mark Mintz had said through planning and zoning, is one cell tower that's kind of located near the Highway 8 and 77 area that through planning and zoning, we have an agreement that we can put equipment on that tower. Or the state can maybe put their equipment on that tower. If we choose to jump in and spend that $297,000 at a later time, we can certainly do that. But if you look at our user rate, and if we spent 15 years and 75 users, it's going to equal that amount, and then we wouldn't have to spend that $297,000 again right away to jump back in, you know, to get a zeroed out user rate fee. And I think in the long run we might be better off to do this. Do it for, you know, a few months, do it for a year. We might spend $6,588 initially as a little insurance, and then not rush into it and find out that maybe that's the route we want to go for the remainder of the contract, or even in consideration for another 15-year contract by user fee per year. The question might come up is, well, without that tower, how's it going to affect us? It would have some effect. I'm certain of that to some degree. Based on the conversations with Mike Jeffries and I talked to Mark and I talked to Doug, and the on the boots on the ground testing with mobiles that were conducted early on in there, I think we feel comfortable with where we're at on that, with the understanding that we would leave our UHF system in place until we felt comfortable to take that down. So with the state moving forward to continue to look for a suitable tower site, in-field use of this equipment might also help identify some other potential areas that may drive the location of that tower to a different area than what we have initially looked at to start with. So that's kind of where we stand on the agreement and our position, I guess, as far as a recommendation to the board.
And I guess as far as your testing, as I remember it, the portables had coverage, but they didn't have coverage inside buildings in Wymore and that. And I don't know, did you have testing off towards Marston and Liberty and those areas that are more remote from our tower here?
Yes, we did. And keep in mind, I guess, you know, from the very start of this, you know, with portables, all the testing is always done based off mobile coverage mm-hmm. to start with. The in-building coverage is always has been an unknown from the very start in this either direction. The Blue Springs Tower site, no doubt, would probably enhance the in-building coverage. It depends on what location you're at, what tower you're hitting throughout our county. The Sterling Tower, the Cheney Tower, it's my understanding within days that's coming online for the northern part of the county. That the Milford Tower, we did hit that tower in the Cortland Claytona area, but I'm sure that Cheney Tower would, you know, completely override that Milford Tower for the most part. And then we have the tower location on Highway 136 for the western part of the county.
Part of the reason for the Blue Springs Tower was to provide enhanced coverage for the southern part of Gage County, but it was also to help back up the Beatrice area.
Right.
Which would be closer than Milford or Cheney or...
Correct. I mean, it would benefit the state, basically, for the eastern part, you know, towards Pawnee, Johnson County, that direction, and into Kansas. And it would also benefit us more towards the central part of the county, towards Beatrice, probably. We would hit that for this kind of quadrant of our county.
And as far as the number of users, and this question might be for Tony or Doug, but as I understand it, with some of what happened in Alliance was that the system was overwhelmed. There wasn't enough channels to accommodate the number of troopers that responded to the area. And with 25 users, does that mean we're limited to 25 people at any one time that could possibly be on the system?
I don't want to speak for too much beyond what I know. The 75 users, I believe, you know, they're comfortable with the number of channels, transmit, and receive sites that we would have to handle that number of users. Could it get overloaded? I suppose it could, and maybe one of those guys should maybe touch on that a little better than I can.
Because we're going from 75 to 25 users.
Correct. And I think the 75 number that translates out to that 296,460, that's the number that would match that combiner equipment.
Right.
The dollar amount would allow up to that. I don't know about the tower site being able to handle 75 users at once. I can't comment on that.
And I do have a question, probably for Doug. When the state developed their SRS system, I'm sure Motorola made a recommendation or your company as far as the equipment that the state needed to purchase. And what percentage of that equipment was purchased?
Okay. Doug Ostergaard, First Wireless, and I'm going to actually defer that question to Tony, because that was actually purchased directly from Motorola. But I guess I don't know if you want to talk about the number user question now or after Tony speaks.
Go ahead.
I guess to back up to, you know, the 25 users, 75 users, it doesn't really matter how many radios you have on the system, so to speak. There are channels that the trunking system will handle, and we can then say we can have 20 different, I guess when I say channels, talk groups that are programmed to operate through the system. Now, each tower site can handle 3 talk groups at a time. So it doesn't matter which of those 3, and it doesn't matter, okay, so you can have 100 radios and all only have 1 talk group in them, so you're going to be on that talk group channel. One person's going to talk, the other 99 are going to hear. Let's say you have three channels in that radio, and you've got them divvied up evenly. You got 33 on each channel, and so each of those talk groups can be active at a time. You add a fourth talk group in there. Now those three are busy. The fourth one won't get in, and we'll get a busy. So it doesn't matter how many radios. It matters how many talk groups and how those talk groups are being used. And I can only assume that in Alliance that that's what happened, is then we had 5-6 talk groups, everybody trying to talk at the same time. Only three of them were going through at a time. That's an assumption based on my knowledge of how the system works. So anyway, does that answer that for everybody? So
maybe you could clarify what we currently have with our conventional system, one channel, one person talking.
Yeah, go with that.
Yeah, good point. Whereas in a conventional system, yeah, there's one frequency, you talk on it or you don't.
Mm-hmm.
The trunking system is meant to be more efficient, to use those frequencies more efficiently. So when you key it up, it assigns you to a frequency that's not being used. So that's where you can have, you know, like say 10 talk groups only operating through three frequencies, based on, you know, this guy keys up, conversation stops, this one has canal, use that channel back and forth. To be perfectly honest, that's how your telephone system works. There are not, you know, for every central office, there's not 10,000 lines. You know, there's only a number of lines, and you just pick the only ones.
And when you say each tower is limited to three talk groups, does that mean, like, you know, if we're going off the Cheney Tower that's just coming up, that we need to be assigned one of those talk groups or one of them that's active at that time, or...?
It will do that dynamically. So, and it will look for different tower sites. Let me jump in real quick. Tony Casiba with Motorola. So one of the things that let me go back to how those work. So you've all been to places where they have registration where you have, you know, A through D, E through, you know, and they've got separate. And there will be somebody that, you know, at the end of the alphabet, there's no people down there, and there's 50 people through F and G. Well, one of the things with conventionals, that's how it works. You've got a channel with a talk group, and those folks are using it. With the trunk talk groups, what happens is it's a trunk system, and it looks at and dynamically says, okay, one's available, two's available, three's available, and it just starts assigning, and it starts looking at. And it doesn't take long for a push to talk. So what happens is they push, they get assigned the channel, and then it releases it. So those things are happening very quickly, very dynamically. So it's not like once a conversation starts and I call you that we're hanging on to that channel for the entire conversation for 5 minutes. It is push to talk, release. You come back to me, it may be on a different channel.
And I guess maybe my concern with the Milford and Cheney Towers would be, you know, areas that are close to Lincoln, you know, in a major storm event or whatever, that those might get occupied pretty quickly.
Actually, the Lincoln Tower, north side of Lincoln, is the one that most folks in Lancaster County utilize, and that has six channels with five talk paths. So there, what the state does is they, you know, they start with a standard of four channels, and then they expand the channels. So once we put a site in, it doesn't mean that it has to stay. We can go up to 30 channels per site. It just depends on the usage. And, you know, there you start looking at how many people are going to be on a shift in an area, and you start looking at the statistics of it. The statistics of a site, there aren't that many in the state that get really busy, but the ones that do, they've expanded those sites.
And how many times has the system been overloaded?
Overloaded as in?
Well, as in the user can't get on the system.
Well, you might have busies in a certain area at a certain time. And what we typically have found is that is training, because somebody locks onto a certain site or they don't go through what their procedures are. You know, you've brought up the Alliance incident several times. The Alliance incident really didn't have anything to do with the number of channels. It had everything to do with proper use of equipment and training. And it was a perfect storm of different radios were programmed at different things. So this started in the western part of the state where we're programmed. They were doing some updating on the programming. You had two different groups of radios come together that were programmed differently.
And as I've been told, you know, like when the troopers left, maybe like the Grand Island dispatch area to respond to Alliance or whatever area they left from, they need to notify dispatch that they're leaving this area and going into the next area. Otherwise, that causes a problem with the system. And there was multiple ones that, you know, didn't do that. And does dispatch have a way to, you know, to kick that radio to the correct area?
Well, what happens is, so if I'm in Columbus and I'm in Troop B, and I all of a sudden am going to go to Troop E out in Scotts Bluff, if I keep my radio on the Troop B, mm-hmm. as I'm driving across the state, I'm lighting up towers with Troop B traffic. Now, you don't want to do that. You want to basically put yourself on a Troop E talk group at that point and tell you, as you drive, you're going to B dispatch one, B dispatch one, dispatcher, we're moving to whatever talk group you want us to be on for this incident. Maybe it's E dispatch one. By doing that, you associate now with the, as you drive across the state, with the proper towers. Otherwise, you're lighting up all the different towers with that B traffic. So somebody in Scotts Bluff is hearing what's going on B dispatch one out in Norfolk. That's not what you want to have happen.
Right.
So that becomes a training, and they have cleaned a lot of that up.
Okay.
Something I want to add to that, Doug, okay. First Wireless again. So as Tony was talking about that, you know, if something that's a statewide radio system, but if it's something that's said here by Gage County Sheriff, it doesn't get broadcast throughout the state. The system watches as, let's say, Chief Deputy Klaus was driving to North Platte and had his radio on, like Tony described there. As it goes from tower to tower, it roams, and now it keeps him in the loop. So if something said, he would hear it. And that's where, if he stays in his own area, that it only gets broadcast on the towers that he's registered to. So I'm not sure if I'm relaying that.
Well, it's operational procedures is really what it comes down to.
So you're not – if a site gets busy in western Nebraska, it doesn't affect here because those resources aren't here on the system – so that that system's not getting that conversation isn't getting broadcast here.
Right. If the Omaha Tower has a busy, it's not going to affect you here. Is what we're
right.
looking for.
Yeah, yeah. It's so much to know about it. It's hard to describe it all.
And will the consolidation of the dispatch centers affect this in any manner?
No, because their procedures are completely separate. So they're sizing their dispatch centers and moving. It doesn't matter where they dispatch from. You can dispatch it from one or 50 different locations. So that's going to be an operational procedure within the patrol.
And I guess back to my original equipment or question is in regards to equipment. Did Motorola make a specific recommendation as far as what equipment was needed and what was purchased?
Clarify that a little bit.
Well, did Motorola recommend, you know, I'm sure there was initially 100% recommendation, but was 100% of it purchased or was 50% of it purchased?
I'm assuming you're talking the number of towers to build the system.
Towers.
Lead me to water.
Meters,
lead me to water. Lead me to water. Ask me the question because I kind of think I know where you're going, but I guess. Are you saying did the state follow our recommendations
right.
completely?
Right.
We basically came to an agreement on what they had to spend or what they had allocated. So we obviously, when we come in and design a system, we're designing it basically everywhere coverage. And we can come in and do a lot of different things. Missouri, we've got 34 different state systems. Everybody has a little different flavor of how they do it. Some do it in phases, some do it in different versions, mixing, regional systems, etc. The state had so many dollars to spend that were allocated, and we put in the number of towers and frequencies that they had allocated to associate with the plan that they wanted, which was a statewide mobile system. Now, does that mean the state system is done? No, there's always going to be expansion. You know, one of the things that we learn right away is who are they going to be on the system as users. You get the Department of Roads, you get other folks that come on from the state system, you start expanding users, you start expanding needs. Those are going to be towers, infrastructures, and changes. I mean, we've, just from the time the last year, we're adding four new sites. We're already looking at where we can add additional sites, talking to counties like yourself, and looking at what can be done to expand. So it is not a set it and forget it type of system. This is a growing, and it's an evolution within the communications.
How many other counties have you talked to in regards to this? Are any of them close to purchasing it or made a decision?
Probably around five that are in the phases where you are, where we're talking to boards, we're talking to 911 county boards and other folks, and that we've given pricing to and worked through. So it's an evolution, and it's something that is taking place, and it will expand. I mean, we know that based upon their current interest, a lot of folks are in the position that you are, where they've got aging systems, things are starting to fail, and you look at why do we want the cost of new towers for us? Why do we want to have that liability? Why do we want to have to pay to associate with doing research on a new tower? That was $13,000 that the state spent to find out that you had a tower that really shouldn't be utilized going forward. That's a good partnership to have, that if they bring a lot of resources, as well as folks like us that can bring resources to help you in communications, where when you're doing it on your own, sometimes you don't have the resources or the ability to get the applications that they can when you're dealing it with a statewide system.
Guess I'm out of questions.
Anybody else? So the way I see it is a tower we need to move away from. The state doesn't want to use it. So we need to get into a monthly user fee of about $6,600, which over 15 years is about $100,000.
Annual.
$6,600 annual.
Yeah. Annual.
Right. Times 15 years, if we were looking at the 15-year program before, which is about $300,000.
And I think to clarify, it's not that the state or us don't want to use the tower. It's that it's recommended that it not be utilized based upon.
And I guess I do have one comment on the tower. You know, we were looking at the Blue Springs Tower for a reason, and that was needed. And it does serve the south end of the county as well as Beatrice. And I guess I have issues not upgrading a tower in that area and going ahead with the rest of the system.
I see what John's saying. John's saying that we probably need to continue talks and looking and evaluating where would be a good spot down there, or still trying to make sure that we cover that area with coverage. And this here agreement doesn't stop that. It's just that.
Oh, absolutely. We're
not going to be able to get that done in time for all this other.
Right, and I think that's exactly right. Mm-hmm. We want to find a tower in that area that helps with that coverage. No, nobody is taking that away.
Mm-hmm.
I guess if you have thoughts of replacing, or I don't think that tower is repairable, from what I've gathered.
No, not from what I've.
But that tower is 485 feet tall, and you're not utilizing nearly that height. That's what it was when you got it for a dollar. And so if you were to replace it, I'm just purely off the top of my head thinking, you might be able to replace it with a much smaller tower that wouldn't be nearly as expensive. A 500-foot tower would be very costly to rebuild. But you don't necessarily need that height.
350 would be about what I think, give or take, that would be a.
Yeah, I guess there's two phases. That's if you want the statewide stuff on there still.
Right.
Which we may go somewhere else with that. But just to accommodate what you've got there now, I don't
think. Oh, yes. If you're just wanting to accommodate the equipment that's on there.
Stuff, you can probably do it much smaller.
Yeah, you might even be able to do that with a monopole, depending on what the.
So,
with arrangers for that.
Well, that concerns me, because the major reason that I hear from the Sheriff's Department on doing this whole system is because with what we have now, we might have a person here or a person there, particularly in the south or southeast, that can't be communicated with at a certain time with our equipment. Then one of our officers won't get information that they need at a certain time. So this is the reason why we have to go to a whole communication system, so that this will happen. So it does concern me when we have one piece again, supposedly in this huge thing, that isn't working and isn't planned for.
And I guess I would like to say I definitely feel that we need to upgrade our system. I just feel we need to do it, you know, make sure it's right and serves the entire county.
Is there evidence to show that with not using that tower and upgrading, we would not be able to service the county, the entire county? Is there any evidence that shows for or against that?
If I remember right, with the study that Mark went and did with Mike Jeffries, is Mike coming down? Okay. If I remember right, it was redundant coverage for the most part, except for there was some portable issues on the south side of Beatrice and certain areas in the southern part of the county. But from what I remember, it was a lot better coverage than what we had now. And I think, if I remember right, also Mike Jeffries kept all that information. He really didn't want it dispensed all over the place. So we don't have that in front of us to say that for sure. But that's what I'm recollecting is that it was better coverage than we have now, but there was some portable issues, which is the exact reason we were looking at spending $300,000 to put a combiner down at that tower. To utilize that tower. Otherwise, we would just say to heck with spending $300,000 and just spend $6,000 a year and come out way ahead. So, moving forward, is it better, and is it going to work in order to go this way and use the system as is with the 25 users and get the job done and everybody's safe and we're done spending the money?
I think we're definitely better from just the testing that they did with just the one tower right here on the county line. We're definitely better than we are now. Mike wants to put a tower. I mean, his intent is to follow through and put a tower somewhere down here. I mean, of course, it's not in writing, but that is definitely his plan, is that we start right now, yesterday, looking for tower sites so that we can put a tower up. We, meaning the state. My recommendation is let them find the tower space, let them, we'll help them, but let them put the site in. Don't spend the $297,000, go with a user rate per month, and then we don't have the location liability of the equipment, the tower, in 15 years. We don't need to revisit whether we want to spend $300,000 again for equipment. And, they continue to grow their assets, throughout the state, and then we take advantage and utilize those just for, $21.96 a month. You can't even get a cell phone plan for that, so that's, if we're just figuring it that way, that's pretty cheap, I think, for a user fee to utilize this system.
And I guess another thought would be is if the state would agree, if we approve this, that they would commit to finding a tower and putting the equipment on it at their expense, and we pay the user fee. But that's a question for Mike.
Yeah. I don't want to speak out of turn here, but initially the state was like loving the idea that you guys were going to pay for that site for them. I don't know that their intent at that time was to build a tower here. But hey, if you guys wanted, they would love to work with you. And hey, if it's grown to where now they want it and they want to spend the money, that's great for you.
Right. Yeah, would be great.
And you do have access, it sounds like, through planning for different cell towers and infrastructures that you can get on, which we would love for every county to start doing that. But there are many counties in Nebraska who seem to be opposed to actually asking cell tower companies and other companies for public safety space on towers. It's it's unfortunate, but you're in a good position by having those agreements with those companies to be able to do that. So that will give speed as well as flexibility to looking at different tower locations in the south.
And I will say that I think the main reason we settled on the Blue Springs Tower, not that there was nothing wrong with it, it was good site, you know, good location for us, but you owned it. You know, that's why it just kind of jumped to the top of the list versus some of these other sites that, that will be good, useful sites as well.
Yeah, there was two things going for it. You owned it, and it was tall. Those are nice things with...
Old and decrepit, not so good.
Not so good.
I'm finding that out every day as I age.
More questions?
So what we will be spending with the state is the about $6,600 a month for 25 years. A year, $549 a month. And then we will not have the upgrade, so we'll have to buy our radios. And then for the dispatch center, we'll have to have some equipment there. Yes.
That's $10,181.50 that the city of Beatrice. That's out of their pocket.
That's out of their pocket.
Dispatch for a consulate.
So we are just buying radios and this monthly fee.
The radios are $5,000-$6,000 apiece.
Right. And then we may still have a dead spots in the southern part of the county.
There is that possibility, yes, but we don't have a real way of knowing that without actual in-field use, I guess, over a period of time to where we're at compared to now.
None of the people that did the drive testing are here. Mark Mites was one of them. I only know from what they relayed to me that they were very happy with the handheld coverage in a vehicle.
Without a south tower.
Without a south tower and without the new upcoming change.
Right.
Okay, and how soon do we have, evidently if this tower is no good, we have to remove our equipment from it and take down the tower?
Yes.
Okay.
I mean, that certainly seems to be the recommendation. Does it mean it has to be today? No, but we kind of had a little discussion early before the meeting about I think we need to get together with some of the people that have the better knowledge about that in some committee meetings early on here and get a timetable established as to what our action plan is going to be for communications for South Fire and paging so that, A, we can take care of the people that are first responders for that area and the liability of the county for future, you know, the towers being taken down.
So what kind of expense are we looking at there, and is it the county's expense to move the equipment, even though we won't really be, we were looking at giving the equipment away?
Well, that equipment is unrelated to this. That equipment
is... Right, but that's all expense that...
But that's all expense that's going to happen with or without statewide radio system. That's all. That equipment is totally unrelated to this.
It is, but... It's money that's going to have to be spent that before we commit to spending a lot of money here, I think we need to have an idea of how much more money is going to have to be spent.
I've got a torch I'd be willing to bring over and start cutting. I'd do that for free.
Just park your car more than 490 feet away.
I would agree with Kathy that there's an expense out there that we don't want to have known, but Gary's correct too. That's independent of this because we got to do something with it. We got to pull this stuff down. It all comes, and the cost is going to be, you know, we'll probably have to bid that out and see what that cost is going to be to take it down.
And there is some other costs there as far as your upgrades. Remember, they're going to have every 2 years, they thought, to upgrade, keep your equipment as, what do I want to say, current as possible. And as I read the contract, it looks like the state's, you know, that's going to be the county's expense. And also on page 4, it also talks about educating the county users and stuff. I have no idea what those kind of costs are. And, I mean, I know you guys want to get these things. The more users, the better system is going to be. But, you know, when you're talking about additional costs, we really don't have an idea what those are dollar-wise.
Well, you're not buying any of the site equipment, and so there's really no none of that SUA maintenance cost to even consider at that point because you're not...
Right, but I mean the upgrades, and the education. As I understand, part of the, if you will, startup pains was people were still working with the old systems, trying to make the new one work based on the old protocols. Don't work. And I understand that. I'm a dinosaur. I don't like all this smartphones and stuff. But somebody's going to have to educate the folks that are using these things.
Mm-hmm.
Good.
Train the trainer, I think, is what we're referring to.
Well, because it's going to have to be somebody.
Right.
And I just noted that, Kathy was talking about some additional costs.
Right.
I just point out that that's, and then that's all I'm going to say. And I didn't mean to jump you yesterday. I mean, I understood that wasn't your, when you sent over the contract. I love contracts at 3:30.
Well, who doesn't?
I know, but
train the trainer is what we're talking about here, and that is the educational process that we need to be able to grasp as an entity to train our personnel.
Right.
So we will send whatever the number is we decide is best for the county. Whether it's 1, 2, 3, whatever, to the trainer sessions, and then we come back and then we break that down into the groups for the necessary entities that are going to be end users and provide that training with support from the Office of the Chief Information Officer, Motorola, First Wireless, to train our people to adequately use the equipment. And then we attend regular system user meetings, system user group meetings that are held in York. I kind of talked a little bit about with John. I wish we would have maybe earlier on in this maybe got some county board members go to some of those meetings, because there's a lot of information that's disseminated. If you go to those meetings?
I do. I attend.
Maybe he can touch on that if you'd like to hear about it more, but if they have a problem area, they talk about it. They look for solutions, because everybody's got a voice at that meeting as an end user. Do they want people to be able to participate and make this work? So it's very good. Mark Mines, I talked to him. He's been to either one or two, and he said they cover a lot of stuff at those meetings, and that's where if there's problems or input or towers are going to be down for maintenance, that's where all this information is talked about, and then it's disseminated out to all the system users.
In the state OCIO has people in the department that can come out and assist with training and walking through things. They do that with the ATROC. Now, you've had the consulate training where they come out, they sit with folks and work through what all the fleet map's going to be, what all the training needs to take place, and how to use it, how you're going to set it up and do that training. So the state does provide really good coverage that in that regard.
Have there been any of these every 2 years or whatever upgrade costs from the SRS?
We just did an upgrade last year, and that's a contract with us in the state.
And none of it went back to the county or the one county that's part of the statewide
radio? Users.
Yeah.
I don't know how they disseminated that. We just, the state paid us directly, so I don't know how they. My understanding is that that is part of your user fees.
But as Roger said, it does have that under the county responsibilities in here.
But I guess that may be a little boilerplate, because in the sense of there's no equipment you're buying, there's no tower equipment you're buying to do the upgrade to.
I guess I'm without seeing the contract, so I'm wondering if they're just leaving that in there just in case there's something has to be upgraded with the subscribers, which I see as being a very, very outside chance that there would be anything. In all my years with upgrades to the subscriber equipment, it's usually feature enhancement. Not. You got to do this in order to continue to work. But that's not, that's very general with radios of all kinds, not specifically standard radios. And I wonder if that maybe is a little language about the mobiles and portables.
I'm not saying it's a problem. I'm just saying it's in the contract. I just wanted the board to be aware that that could be a cost down the road.
That it can only be subscriber equipment. Since you're not buying any infrastructure, I would say those costs are not. If it are one, slimmed out to be necessary, and probably not substantial.
I know nothing about radios, and still got a transistor up in my office.
Do
more questions?
My personal opinion is we should defer this and discuss with Mike Jeffries in regards to another tower site. I mean, I don't think the discount that we're getting from Motorola is significant enough to make us rush the decision. And if, you know, they want to sell us the equipment, then there'll be another offer down the line. That's my thought.
What is the June special from Motorola? This was the May one.
There isn't one after this. There is no there. This is the promotion we have for Q2. Generally, there's a Q2 and a Q4, but there is no Q3 promotion.
So we'd be looking another three months away for a promotion, but that might give us time to do it right.
I agree with John. I think there are some major changes and unanswered questions. I think if somebody from the state had been here, might have been able to answer those questions. But I still have questions as far as if this is going to solve all of our communication problems or just move the communication problems.
But the tower that we're no longer need to be using, was that used during the testing process?
No.
So it wasn't used.
There's no
equipment on that tower when we did the testing process to begin with, which had better coverage.
Yes.
So the only factor is we've got a tower there that the property of the county that we need to take down and find other places for, which we need to do that regardless of what we do here. Right. And so the testing, from what I'm just refreshed, what I heard today was that when they did the testing, we had better coverage than what we have now. We weren't even using that tower anyway. So the system, according to that, will be better than what we have now. And the cost is $6,600 a year, user fee, versus nothing if they could have used the tower, which they can't now, and neither can we. We got to get rid of it. So,
and I think the coverage would be better, but as I remember those maps, you know, the southeast corner and maybe the southwest corner were kind of lagging in coverage. I guess I looked more at the southeast than the southwest, but, you know, they were kind of on the faded side. And I would assume the day they did the drive-through that the weather has an effect on this. The atmospheric conditions have an effect on how well it will test that day. And on a different day, it may not have tested as well. And I guess I'd rather get really good coverage than have some average coverage in an area of the county.
I wish I could recall the numbers exactly, and I can't bring back up what the failure rate was for the handhelds outside of the car. The mobiles, there was no issues, if I recall. Doug, do you remember? Yes. If I remember right, the mobile units, it was no problem. It was the handheld portables.
I'm sure that's the case.
Yeah. Yeah, and quite frankly, I guess the way I'm looking at this is that this tower report has just saved us $300,000, where we've decided, or where it appears almost that there's a possibility we don't need that. Possibly do.
Right.
But quite possibly don't, and we were going to spend $300,000 for redundant coverage to fill a couple of holes that might be there. You know, I guess I feel pretty comfortable in moving forward with buying the subscriber equipment and entering into this statewide radio system and being able to evaluate whether or not that redundant coverage is actually necessary, where we got to look at spending the $300,000 for a different tower site down the road, which...
If we choose to.
I mean,
that doesn't have to be our expense if we don't want it to be.
Exactly.
We just stay with the user fee. We know what's proposed is better than what we have. We take advantage of the Motorola pricing that's going on right now. It's $1,000 per Apex radio, if I'm saying that correctly. That's $65,000 with the 10 being cut as proposed. So
I don't know. I guess it's that's our recommendation that we move forward with what's proposed in the service agreement with the state, and then move forward with the purchase of the subscriber units, you know, as recommended by the board.
And I think at this point, I guess I support the recommendation that them guys have brought forward, with the understanding that no communication equipment that we're going to buy is going to be 100% of the time. We've been told that several times over, and it looks to me, and there again, like I said, I wish I could remember, and I wish Mike was here with the information to put in front of us, but my recollection is that mobile equipment was quite a bit more efficient under the statewide radio system than what we are currently. And the handhelds was better, but still left some gaps, possibly.
Correct. That's also my understanding as well.
And I guess my thought on it was, if and those gaps, you know, may not be significant, but they may exist in places in the county. You know, is the county going to commit to putting that tower up there if the statewide radio system won't? I mean, possibly, you know, if this was delayed, statewide radio would commit to installing that tower at their expense, letting us go on the user fees, because they're going to recoup some of it with the user fees, not the entire cost of the tower. But that tower would also probably serve the, you know, some of Pawnee County and some of Jefferson County from that site down there. Because, you know, if Cheney and Milford are serving us, why, you know, they're going to serve parts of other counties with that system, or with that tower. And I don't think after we commit to this purchase, we have much leverage.
Well, I honestly believe that we can't afford to wait much longer. I mean, that's my opinion. To delay it another 90 days and to say that we might get something or get something in writing, I think we're taking a big chance by doing that. We know that if we jump on now for $21 or $22 a month per user, that's what we're going to spend. We know that. If we think that we're going to get the state to put something in writing, then there is that outside chance that they would be willing to do that. However, that we can't specify that it's going to be for our own use. If it's going to benefit other users in the system throughout the state, then I guess I don't know. I can't speak for that, but I don't think that it's a good idea to try and postpone this, hoping for Motorola to give us a better deal down the road, and then maybe we get them to put something in writing. The service agreement is before us to get onto the system as for a user rate. The subscriber equipment, you know, it's a separate deal than this. It's kind of encompassed in the overall picture, but we have the option to spend that $300,000 if we want to.
Right.
They're going to find us a site. I'm very confident in that we will benefit from. It doesn't mean it has to be our site that we own and that we pay for and maintain and have the liability for, but we won't pay any additional than the 20 whatever dollars a month per user, whether we spend $300,000 or not. I mean, that's the part that I look at, I guess, that if we're not willing to commit $300,000, you know, for equipment, that doesn't count putting a tower up somewhere. If we want that, you know, that cost, we're going to pay the same amount, you know, now with a user fee versus spending hundreds of thousands of dollars potentially for a site if we want it, you know, that bad.
And have they actually indicated that they're willing to put up on another tower their equipment?
Committed in writing?
Writing or verbally?
The conversation that I had yesterday with Mike Jeffries is he's actively seeking out a location for an alternate tower site as of yesterday.
And that would be at their expense, not ours?
For a state tower.
Right.
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 I have no reason to doubt what he said up to this point, so I'm taking him on his word.
Tony, see with Motorola again. John, I do want to address the comment you made about having a voice. I mean, that's what the whole the user group is for, is having a voice, so that users can meet on a monthly basis to come and discuss what their needs are, not only from training perspective, coverage, capacity, expectations, user experiences. That is the whole point of having that statewide user group, is to have a voice. So it's not, hey, we've signed an agreement with the state, now you're just, you know, just pay us and go away. It is a group that meets and has that purpose. So I would say that not only do you get more of a voice because you've paid in. Now you're a partner on the system.
I guess, you know, the users group would be another reason to, you know, delay it down the road a little bit, as we could attend some of those and get a feel for how to make our system be right from the start.
I think I understand a lot of your concerns, but I also, we just didn't start this process this last month or whatever. We started this process almost a year ago. We knew that we are having issues with our communication, especially for the police department, and that hasn't gotten any better. That hasn't, and I mean, the longer we put this off, I agree there are some questions in here, but the state so far, at least from what Mike has treated us, he's treated us really fair and square, and I think he's treated us really well. Of all the things they've done, the longer we put this off, I mean, we're putting more of these guys out here in jeopardy, and our communication issue isn't going to go away. That our equipment's more than outdated. It's past its prime use or whatever, and this agreement, there are some things in there that there still could be some costs for us, training. I visited with Doug yesterday, and then what the training involves is they're going to train our guys, our two or three main guys. It's going to cost time for them to go up there. They're coming back and training everybody else here. So that is a possible cost as far as upgrade. Just what he said, the equipment on the towers are the ones that are upgrade. Doug told me that as far as our units, when they need a computer upgrade or whatever, they send that down and we do that here. That's not a cost. That's included in the user's fee or whatever. I think we need to go ahead and start moving on this so that we get this system in place so that these guys out here are able to communicate a lot better.
How about this? How about if we, Mike isn't here to give us an answer, but how about if we approve this pending the statewide radio system agreeing to put up another tower at their expense? Because it sounds like they have made some commitment to doing it, but we can approve it pending that. And then that should cover everything.
I think if we're going to go that way, John, we just don't do anything at this point. Because the idea is to be able to realize the $65,000 in savings in subscriber equipment. And if we go down that road, you're not capable of ordering radios today if that's the case.
I guess that would depend on the, what Mike Jeffries needed for a time frame.
I guess real quick, I kind of want to throw this out here. I don't want to be pushy. But if you're going to go on the statewide radio system ever, the radios as configured are the radios you need. The discounts apply today. But by not acting today and waiting 6 months, does it save you any money? You know, can it cost you more money? I guess I just, the radios as you're looking to purchase, I guess right now the motion is to the user fees, but the radios really are the holdup on whether we want to purchase that. And that's the radio that you need if you're going to work on the statewide radio system. And so if you're not going to buy them, then we really kind of, it's like, I guess you kind of got to back up and go, what else are we going to do? And we've looked at those options, and I guess that's the radio to buy if you're going to move forward. So I'll leave it at that. Thank you.
All right, we have a motion and a second. Had good discussion. Vote. Okay, five in favor of going forward, two against. Hill and Setzer are against. Next is approve or disapprove the purchase of a subscriber of the subscriber equipment in the amount not to exceed $400,000. Need a motion to approve or disapprove.
Motion to approve.
Moved by Dorn.
Second.
Seconded by Lytle. Discussion.
I don't know how many meetings ago, two, three meetings ago, you passed out the listing of all this, Doug. You had three or four pages here. And on that, it listed what each department was going to get or receive or order. And it listed all of the equipment on here from Motorola or whatever. Correct. And the total in this came up to $454,411.
And 5 cents.
And committee meeting Monday, and we've had this discussion for a couple committee meetings, that we felt there were too many. We questioned the need for this many portables. And committee meeting 2 weeks ago, we said that we were going to recommend that 10 less of those. And at this committee meeting, what we had Monday, we had a good half-hour discussion on this and the dollar amount and all of that. And we kind of came to a final figure of if you ordered 10 less, it would be about $58,000 to $59,000 less if you ordered 10 less portables. So we came to a conclusion that we were going to put a number, the final number. Then if something needed to be different than the 10 portables, that still was up to you guys a little bit. But mm-hmm. basically, we're looking at the 10 portables, and that's where we came up with the number of $400,000. And we didn't specifically say it's a 10 portables, but that's what
right.
we communicated to you that we're expecting and stuff. So, and that's why we used the $400,000 amount.
Correct.
Just to recap as to where we're at this point. If we don't go to statewide radio system and we continue to use the old system and we go to upgrade it to make it work efficiently, we're looking at spending roughly the same amount of money we were talking about before. That was option A long time ago, $700,000 to $800,000 to more or less get that system to work and operate the way we need it to. The second option, which is now where we're at, was looking into statewide radio system, and we voted to go down that road and look at that. Here currently, we're looking at the opportunity, or we've already agreed to go with the user fees, which is going to cost us $6,600 a year. And at this point, is a good possibility that we might not need to spend any more money after the subscriber equipment is bought and we're on the system paying that user fee yearly. So what we have the opportunity to possibly come through with here is a newer, better working system where we don't have equipment to maintain at a substantially less amount. So I guess where I'm weighing it out is looking at them two options that we have in front of us, because like Myron said, we have got to move forward and get something done for the safety of our people in this county and for our law enforcement officers. And I guess that's what I lay out in front of everybody, is to think about it that way, and we got to make up our decision and move forward.
But we are reducing the numbers.
We're reducing the dollar amount, and with
we've communicated the numbers.
Yeah. We've communicated quite often to Doug that's what we're looking at it as 10 less handhelds now. Well, do they have to? No,
that's what I thought. Yep. But I just wanted to make sure we clarified that.
That is correct. We had had,
that's been emphasized.
We had had some conversations. Myron and I did that day that he came over there, and you know, as to maybe budgeting for you know one, two radios annually.
Yep.
If that's
part of our committee discussion, was if they still felt they 42 handhelds weren't enough, and they still needed the 52 or whatever number they felt they needed. In the years going forward, they needed to start including that in their budget, one, two, three a year or whatever. Not only their budget, but also emergency management budget and so on. The different departments that are using these. And that we felt that if they felt there was still a need, then they needed those. That was how that was going to be handled. That was going to be start. They were going to have to start incorporating them in their budgets in the years going forward. One, two, three a year, or whatever. Or if they don't need all 10 of them for 5 years, then maybe we can decide how to finance that or handle that then.
Which would be subject to our approval in the budget process.
Correct. Yes. Yeah, and we would. I told Myron, too, that, I mean, just because, so, look, if each entity ordered two radios a year, for example, and that was, say, let's just use that as an example, that was six a year. Well, we don't want to keep doing that for 10 years, you know,
no,
and buy 60 radios. So we want to get to the number that between the sheriff's office, jail emergency management, everybody, you know, it's the overall numbers that we're looking at, you know, for the worst case scenario, that we can share these resources between entities. And it's not just that the sheriff needs this many radios and wants to keep. It's the total number for the worst case scenario. When we get to that number to where all those entities feel comfortable that we've reached that number, then we stop buying those radios at that point and have those discussions for future budgeting through the county so that we can prepare for something 10 years down the road or whatever if we need to look at doing some changes then and use that money, you know, so it doesn't hit us with such a big sticker shock right off the bat. So.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I always apologize when I flip through papers because I save everything. I'm like a squirrel. I always save it for a later day. And there's some of the initial numbers, and recognizing that they changed. The two systems simulcast that we initially had was $810,000, and the initial statewide was upwards of $900,000. Some of the $948,000. So those were the initial costs that were being talked about, so, just because Gary had mentioned that.
Thanks.
Any further discussion? We have a motion and a second regarding approval of the purchase of subscriber equipment not to exceed $400,000. Vote. Motion passes 5-2. Hill and Setzer against. Next is approve. I need a motion to approve or disapprove funding for communications equipment.
Move to approve.
Moved by Lytle.
Second.
Seconded by Dorn. Discussion.
This $400,000, now we originally we were talking $700,000 to $800,000 when we had the tower two or the equipment on the tower. The $400,000 from the committee's recommendation is to come out of inheritance.
So the motion to approve the fund will come out of inheritance. We have a motion and a second. Any further discussion? Vote 7-0. Gus, last but not least.
Well, for the sake of getting people out of here, I'm sure we're all tired of hearing about radios. I will just ask to have most of the statistics, the quarterly reports put on file. Everybody's got copies, including the media. The one I do want to touch base on really quickly, I asked Sergeant Davidson, he was good enough to present to me here some stats. It's that little sheet about the third one back, the front.
The little one here?
The little one there, that's the one. The first 17 days of last month since he started doing things over in the courthouse for me. So I'll just read those off really quickly for you in the courthouse. Screening area was staffed 17 days at this point in time when this was given to me. The screened area was staffed 96.5 hours, or just a little over 5.5 hours a day when they were staffed, when we had enough staff to do it. For a total of 996 patrons that were screened through. Now, of course, you see the asterisk at the bottom. That includes inmates, not include inmates, so law enforcement officers, attorneys, social workers, probation, employees, things like that. So, yeah, those on there can be well over 1,000, obviously. We had an average of 57 patrons were screened per day. Highest number was one day was 129, which I'm guessing was a pretty busy court day, Roger. We had a total of 246 cell phones were brought to the court floor. Had a total of 42 knives or stabbing type instruments were found. One knife was over 3.5 inch, which if it's not visible, it's concealed, and that's illegal. We also found one bullet, one container mace, and a handcuff key. We assisted corrections with transporting 36 inmates to court, and they arrested two individuals who showed up to court heavily under the influence of alcohol, I'm assuming what that was. So just to give you an idea, the first 17 days, and we'll pick up, I'm sure, more than this as time goes on. My plan is to eventually have this category in the quarterly reports as well, so you'll see it every quarter, kind of what's going on, give you some ideas. So,
my question is for Roger. Why do you think the attorney should be bringing so many stabbing instruments?
Well, I just want to clarify that, to my knowledge, the two people under the influence were not attorneys.
Well, I will tell you, I sent Sergeant Davidson to both Lancaster and Platte County in the last month or so just to see how they operate their positions there, what they're doing. And he brought back a lot of good information that we'll start working on policy procedures on, working with Roger's office and the judges. So there are a lot of driving force in the courts that we found out in the counties, what they went down on that floor. So.
Hey, Gus.
But it's working out real well.
One question for you. What was the explanation the person had for having the handcuff key?
Don't know. I do not know. You'd be surprised how people just carry stuff like that.
Just
yeah?
Wondering.
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah.
And always when they come to court and they can't face a judge because they're under influence of something, it doesn't set well with the judge either. So that attitude in my population that day, so... Yeah, it's been interesting. It's been working real well for us. So,
All right.
Thank you
much. Motion to place the sheriff's report on file.
So moved.
Moved by Lytle.
Second.
Second by Byers. Vote 7-0 to place it on file. I think we've covered everything on the agenda. Anything else? Seeing committees in 2 weeks. We'll stand adjourned 11:16.
We have committee meetings on the Friday before.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yes.
23rd.
What day is that again?
23rd.
May 23rd. A week from today. Week from today.
Was it yourself?
Week from today. Week from today, Terry. Put
week
it on your calendar.
Well, yeah, not a week from today.
7 o'clock.
A week from today.
A week from today.
Friday.
What did
Friday.
I say? You said a week from today.
I was going, whoa.
You're having another rough day today.
Honor roll.
It does seem like
a
funny.
First day.
Okay.
So she's tired. We'll give her that.
Hey, you giving me that pot shot on my part?
Yeah, May 23rd. Friday, May 23rd.
Clear as mud, right, Danny?